This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer, in for Anthony Brooks. The Senate president in Massachusetts, Therese Murray, started her final two-year session as president today, and she kicked things off by outlining an ambitious legislative agenda for her remaining years in the president's seat. Murray is a Democrat from Plymouth. She's been in the Senate for more than two decades. She's headed the Senate as its first female president since 2007, and she's with us by phone from the State House to talk about her upcoming plans. Senate President Murray, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
One of your signature achievements, and you achieved it early on, was reforming the state's welfare system, putting limits on cash assistance, putting an emphasis on finding work. But you told the full Senate today that there are still loopholes in the system. What do you think needs to change?
Well, there are a lot of things we need to revisit. The original law that was passed in 1995 was supposed to get education or work experience or training for recipients so that they could not stay in the system but move out of the system. Now, some people will never be able to do that, and that's fine. That's what the system's for. But unfortunately, too many waivers have been given for people, and they're not getting the training, and they're not getting the education that we thought that they would get. And it's been brought to my attention over the last 7 months by advocates that there needs to be some additional reforms. So we'll be looking at it.
In the past year or so, there have also been coverage of abuses of EBT cards, electronic benefit transfer cards, which some people have been able to use to buy alcohol and lottery tickets and cosmetics. There has been some legislative reform of that, I believe. Do you feel confident that those EBT cards are now properly used?
I wouldn't say that they're all properly used, but I think we've done a lot to address that issue. And there is a commission that is going to probably go a little bit further, but that's not really what I'm looking at here. I'm looking at protecting the children who are born into these families and who need a break and who need some support. And that was how we came at it in 1995, and that's how I'm going to be looking at it again. And there are people who really need services that aren't getting them, and there are people who know how to work the system that are getting things they don't deserve. And just one quick example someone gave me today is that somebody who is in subsidized housing with heat and electricity covered is also getting a $500 a month heating support.
Mm.
You know,
double
we have
dipping,
a lot of elderly out there who are desperate for heating oil or propane or whatever it is. So we really need to revisit this.
Although Governor Patrick is a wealthy man now, he did rely on welfare when he was growing up poor in Chicago. And he's indicated that he is somewhat wary of certain welfare changes because he thinks they could end up hurting the poor. Do you expect any resistance from him to more welfare reform?
Well, I think when he sees that this is a thoughtful approach, that hopefully he'd be supportive. I know he doesn't want people to game the system because we have so many people in need that need the system. But you don't want young people who get into the system to stay there. You want to give them an opportunity to get out. And I think Senator Hart mentioned that on the floor today when in his nomination speech when I talked to the young women at Julie's Learning Place. When they complained, they were giving me complaints about what was going on in the system, and I said, listen, don't learn to work the system. Get out of the system. Mm-hmm. Learn to get out of it and take care of you and your children. And we talked about some of the other things that were hard for them in their lives, and I want to be supportive for them, and I want them to get out. I don't want them to stay in and work the system because they're going to end up living in poverty.
Senate President Murray, another big theme in your speech today was the state's transportation system, which is in very tough financial shape and has been for years, particularly the MBTA. Some suggested revenue sources have been new taxes, possibly a gas tax, possibly more tolls. What do you think is the solution to the money problem?
Well, we haven't got the solution. We haven't even got the recommendations from the administration or the DOT board yet. We'll be looking for those, but I've been very clear. Don't come to us and expect us to bail out just the T. That's not what we're going to do. We were very clear that this legislature covers the entire Commonwealth, and that means regional transportation authorities, bridges, and roads in the entire Commonwealth. So it has to be a comprehensive fix, and I certainly hope no one's thinking that we're going to be raising revenues to bail out the T by March.
If you do get that comprehensive fix, do you think that Massachusetts residents should brace themselves for possibly more tolls or a gas tax?
Well, I think that the members are going to have that discussion on what can be done and what should be done. We definitely have a crumbling, aging infrastructure that has to be addressed. You saw that in the tunnels with the panels coming off because we're not maintaining the infrastructure that we have. We build things, but we never maintain them. So, you know, we have a lot of bonding bills coming for us this year. We're talking about setting aside, and we have done this in some of the vertical buildings, setting aside money when we do bond for maintenance of the structures we built, so we're not in this situation in the future.
You also indicated today that you are supportive of the idea of early voting in Massachusetts. We don't do it now, even though in some states I think you can vote up to a month before an election. Why don't we have that yet here?
Well, I think we're kind of set in our ways sometimes. But I think Secretary Galvin signaled today that he is willing to go further. And I think that the lines the people were in on Election Day certainly spelled out that there needs to be a fix to that problem, so that people who work don't get to vote a lot of times. The polls don't open until 7, 8 in the morning. They close at 8 at night. If you're commuting from, say, where I live in Plymouth, and you have to be at work at 8 in the morning, you've left before the polls open. And if you're working till 6, you don't get home until after the polls close. So there has to be an opportunity for everybody to have the opportunity to vote.
In your speech today, you also mentioned the Newtown shootings. And you said, we hope to move legislation this session that will protect the residents of Massachusetts without demonizing the mentally ill. And a reference of some sort, it seems, to some kind of gun control, I assume. Do you have a sense yet of what the legislation will say?
I don't. We have had some initial discussions, but Massachusetts has a very strong gun control law. But it doesn't cover everything. I've met with the chiefs of police a week and a half ago. They had some suggestions on how to tighten things up, but we have to do two things. First of all, we have to stop the influx of illegal guns into the Commonwealth, and the police know where they're coming in. They know the corridors they come in up from the south or down from New Hampshire and Maine and across into Springfield, Connecticut, and Connecticut to Springfield and down the pike to the cities. We need to do something better there. We need to work with our border states and other states in stopping the sale of these kind of weapons, so that we have a strong law here. The rest of the states don't, and Congress has to act, and we're going to be a bully pulpit for that here. The Congress needs to act and do something while protecting the rights of people to hunt. And I have a lot of hunters in my district, and that, by the way, they eat the meat that they kill.
One notable thing you didn't mention in your speech today to the Senate, I believe, is health care reform. And that's even though Massachusetts is a pioneer when it comes to reform and trying to bring down health care costs. Why no mention of that?
Well, it was mentioned instead by the people who nominated me and Senator Tarr. And they went into great detail on the numbers of bills that we have passed for health care reform. We are the model for the country, although I have to say I think we did a better job than the rest of the country. And hopefully they'll take a look as they move ahead with the Affordable Care Act and see how Massachusetts is doing. And we passed a very comprehensive bill this last session. It's just starting to kick in. We're going to have to tweak it a little bit as we go forward, but we're very proud of the work we did.
You have two more years as Senate president. The rules spell that out. And clarify for me, do you still stay in the Senate once you leave? You don't have to leave the Senate, just the president's chair.
That's correct. And in most other states, when the Senate president steps down and chooses to stay, they become the Senate president pro tem.
Have you given some thought already, I imagine you have, to what you will do once your Senate president term is up? Do you see yourself simply going back to a senator?
I just got reelected. I haven't thought about that yet, but I have a lot of time ahead of me to do that. I've set out a very aggressive agenda for the Senate for the next 2 years, and that's what I'm going to spend my time on.
Therese Murray is the president of the Massachusetts Senate. Therese, thanks very much for talking with us today.
You're welcome.